Is Beastars really that good? Because it is.
You're watching / listening to the Clash KO podcast.
This is the show where we talk about why anime sparks so much passion among its fans.
I'm Colton Cruz.
Brianna Marshall.
And I'm Wyatt Garland.
Like what you hear, like what you see, subscribe to YouTube or the podcast platform of your choice so you don't miss out on a knockout discussion.
So today we are revisiting Beastars. We watched the first couple of episodes and talked about them a few weeks ago.
check out the video before.
Visceral reaction. Yeah, if you'd like to see our first impression, go ahead and check that video out.
Yeah, of Bree making us watch the furry anime. Which I think we have to talk about, right? So, like, that was one of the, kind of feedback we got on that video was people talking about, like, hey, like, you guys, like, even though it's furry, like, you should check it out because it's, like, high quality. And we were like, no, we totally get that. Like, and so that's literally what we all did. We literally all went and finished this anime because we were intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I mean, like, that's the thing to talk about here, right? There is that stigma. There is that sort of, like, wow, this is unabashed. Like, there's not a couple characters that are animals. Like, some of these fantasy ones will do now. We'll throw in a dragon person and be like, yeah, sure. Like, it's like, no, this is Zootopia the anime.
Oh, it's 100% Zootopia the anime. Like, I said that since day one.
Exactly. It's all in. And, there's a first reaction to that, obviously. The story chooses to put a pretty graphic, romantic scene at the second episode's climax.
Yeah, I mean, climax, exactly. That's the thing. So there are three things just truly at work here, and I think you really to appreciate it, you do have to just acknowledge that all three of them are going on. You've got, you know, this carnivore versus herbivore kind of, you know, like codified racism story like going on. You've got this sexual awakening story going on, and it's in this animal world again. So that there's that furry angle, and then you've also got just the world building of what it is to be, I don't know, an animal society.
Well, to be a Beastar and what they like confirm to be an alpha and like their power structure and their social and how it is kind of weird for a carnivore to be hitting on like our
a bunny, a little bunny.
For reasons that don't just stem from this prejudice, that stem from like a sort of refined fact. Like, are we going to discuss spoilers at all?
Yeah, I think this is our we talk about the whole series.
Just fair spoiler warning here. But there's a turning point in the series that I honestly really enjoyed because I remember our first impression, the first couple of episodes, the world building seemed a little weak. I think we were making jokes about like, well, there's a chicken right there. Like, oh, what do they eat? The eagle's eggs? Like, it was all just kind of it felt a little sloppy. But something really interesting happens a little bit farther in the series. They go to sort of like this forbidden animal market, and there are herbivores. Like, there's a homeless man offering his fingers like for money. Like, he's like, no, you can eat me like for cash. And like, it's a real thing. Like, so like you were saying, that's when the factor of the animalistic like society really just gets sewed in. This isn't look, it's humans. Like, but they're all in costume and we're talking about something else. It's like, no, these are animals.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I know one of the things that I really felt like resisting when we began the series is I'm not a huge fan of like, well, we made this character a Labrador because he's going to be exactly what you think a Labrador would be like. To me, like my archetypes, like I'm much more used to them being like, you know, like in like My Hero Academia, for example, you know, we can have like Bakugo and him just yelling. I'm like, okay, he's the fiery, like temper character. I don't necessarily need him to be like a bomb or something like literally for that to like make sense to me. Exactly.
Yeah, right on the nose.
And so for this animal thing, like it took me a second to be like, oh no, it is that simple. Like the chicken is a chicken. The like wolf is a wolf. Like, right, it's really interesting. And that's what gives this kind of interest too. Cause you get through the first episodes and you've kind of got that like, okay, animal sex. And then you have like two episodes of like, okay, is this just a regular Japanese high school love anime? Like disguised like a theater, as a beast thing?
Is the theater drama?
Yeah. And then you get to the episode you're talking about with the black market. And it's like, okay, no, this is a really interesting world we're actually going to explore. And that's again, kind of the same thing. Like that's where I was like, oh, okay, now I'm interested.
Right. Yeah. And it does that tied in true anime concept. like those ideas of like what a wolf should be and what a tiger should be and what a chicken should be and what a you know, rabbit should be. I mean, part of Haru's sort of like pressure is that people kind of expect her to be promiscuous because she's a rabbit and they're really horny.
Just like, not any like rabbit, thing. But a dwarf rabbit. So she's already vulnerable and they're like, are you okay? Yeah, he's very small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of implications already on, but and the show has characters that lean into those and that's fine, but then they have characters like Legoshi who's like, no, I'm actually really quiet, soft-spoken, and nice. And then they've got like the determined chicken who's like, you know, like, oh no, I'm not scared. Like, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna keep doing my thing. And they've got the I love the mayor who's like, no, I had dental surgery so that I look
friendlier. He's a lion that had his teeth surgically removed for him to be like less intimidating.
Yeah, right? And he's like, and he knows that. Like, these are things. It shows characters being aware of the multiple levels of coding that's put upon them in their own universe and them struggling within that. So there is a reality that is unique to Beastars that comes to life within the show.
Yeah. Also, I think one of like the biggest thing is I like is with Legoshi, they're all in college, high school. They're becoming adults. So Legoshi's kind of like going through this thing where he's like, I'm still really quiet, but I found this bunny that I really like. I've never really liked anybody in my life. And later on in the series, he meets this panda who was probably the most badass character I've ever met. He's like, this isn't really a good thing, but I can kind of teach you to kind of like, because he was like trying to teach Legoshi to kind of be like a vegetarian, which was very interesting. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if you want to get with this bunny, you got to change your ways if you want to get with this bunny. So I thought that was kind of cool. Just, I don't know. We don't really see that in anime where it's just like, yeah, this whole world where it's like they're young and becoming, going through adulthood. It's like, what are some sacrifices that I might have to make if there's something that I really want to do.
And that metaphor gets taken so well because, I don't know, it's a running theme in a lot of anime that, like, you know, it's about young adults seeing what adults are and kind of rejecting that idea of becoming, you know, a cog in society and, you know, being permissive of society working the way it works. And this is actually one of the first shows that like that really kind of like came through to me with, I just think, all of the allegories, you know, being like a nice big funnel of like, Legoshi sees that, you know, he's in school and he's told all these, like, you know, I would say lies, this propaganda that like, no, we all live peacefully. But then he sees that, oh, no, adults.
He
just
goes
cheat.
To the outside world.
Yeah,
and it's just,
and they just cheat. They just eat things anyway. And everybody's just kind of like, no, that's okay. And he's like, no, that's like, I know that's what my body wants. And I know that's what nature is. But like, that's bullshit. We all decided that's not the thing. And he rebels against that in a realistic way. And even meets like Gohin, I think, like, beyond him being just a badass looking panda, like, he's also the only adult figure who's like, yeah, this is absolutely horseshit, like how the system works.
It's all weird, and he's kind of bitter about it. And he even uses shame as be like, oh, you want to be like a predator? You really want to just descend down the madness? This isn't the path. Like, we have society for a reason. Like, it's not. It's that beautiful dichotomy of like, no, I mean, there's the lion Yasuka who think, nope, we're supposed to eat people or eat herbivores. And then there's him saying, the panda showing you, no, this is what actually happens to herbivores, happens to carnivores stuck in this society, because it doesn't matter. We're not going to go back to the way things were. This is what happens when you're forced to live in a society.
Yeah, when a deer can have a gun, like, it's not fair anymore. Well, you know, you can't just be a carnivore.
We're gone, right? Yeah. Like, so we're already in this mess, and like, I mean, I think it's a really good like turning point of the series. I expected this to be like a one-off. I thought they were just gonna bang at the end and like,
oh no, there is so much more, and I am really hoping that Netflix. I read all of it, so I'm really hoping that Netflix continues on with this series, because literally what we saw is like a fourth of the entire series. There's just so much more to explore, and I really love that the series touches based on so much realistic topics that we don't really see in anime. So it's just like, wow, this shit is really relatable. And can we get more, please, Netflix, if you're watching? Yeah. Thanks.
So we're in the dark now, Colton. We need to drink that sweet mango.
No, I went and read some of the manga too, just to like
be familiar
with like the art and stuff, which I have to say, like, on the adaptation of what it is, The manga has an incredibly unique kind of art style. It's not what I would call clean or like good, like really high quality illustration.
Polish.
But the way that it makes things stylistically kind of like creepy, and the way he adds perspective, especially to Legoshi being this like enormously tall wolf. Mm-hmm. The anime, I think, being a 3D CGI, you know, like made completely made anime, they definitely took the time to get that whole vibe of the show also, like of the manga also working in the show. So I, again,
it all up.
Big props on it. Big props on the visuals.
Nice, nice.
Love it. I'm ready for more Netflix. There is another season coming out in 2021.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Did you like Beastars? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
I love Beastars. I'm ready for more. Did y'all enjoy this lovely furry anime?
Did it take your virginity? Are you full in now? Let us know in the comments below, and we will catch you next time. 眠れない